Let's read together Psalms 40 and 41. Both of these psalms are type messianic psalms. That is, they are accounts of experiences of David, but some of these experiences are typical or picture or illustrate experiences of the greater David, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin by reading the first five verses of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 40. In this psalm of thanksgiving and praise, we see in verses 1 through 10 that David praised the Lord for deliverance from some distressing situation that he likened to a slimy pit. Now his feet were on a rock, and he had a new song in his mouth, verses 1 through 3. Not only did David praise the Lord with his mouth for the Lord's many blessings and wonders, verses 4 and 5, but he presented his life as a living sacrifice to the Lord, verses 6 through 8. Let's read those verses. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Verses 6 through 8. In verses 9 and 10, David is determined that he will praise the Lord publicly for his goodness and his righteousness and his faithfulness and his loving kindness. We should do the same. Verses 9 and 10. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Verses 9 and 10. Now in verse 11, a new situation arises where David again looks to the Lord for deliverance. He is confident that the Lord will deliver him, even though he realizes that many of his troubles are because of his own sins. Verses 11 and 12. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Verses 11 and 12. In David's request for deliverance, in verses 13 through 17, he asks that his enemies be put to shame and reap what they had sown, and that the Lord be magnified. Let's read verses 13 through 17. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. You will find that these verses where David desires the wicked to be put down so that the Lord can be magnified are essentially the same as Psalm 70. Our doctrinal point for Psalm 40 is as follows. The deliverance and dedication in Psalm 40 are typical in reference to Christ. The deliverance and dedication in Psalm 40 are typical in reference to Christ. Now, we know that part of Psalm 40 is messianic for sure, because verses 6 through 8 are quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 in reference to Christ. But certainly much of the rest of the psalm can be considered messianic as well. The Lord Jesus looked to God, his Father, for deliverance while he was on the cross and was delivered from death through resurrection. David's iniquities, verse 12, of course, would be typical of our iniquities that the Lord died for as our sinless substitute. Now, when we compare verse 6 here in Psalm 40 with its quotation in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10, we note a difference. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. How do you explain this? The author of Hebrews quotes the verse from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In either case, the verse looks forward to the perfect life of commitment of the Lord Jesus. The deliverance and dedication in Psalm 40 are typical in reference to Christ. Practical application for Psalm 40. Wait patiently for deliverance. Wait patiently for deliverance. There is no contradiction between verse 1 of Psalm 40, which says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and verse 17, which says, do not delay, O my God. Now, we can all identify with verse 17, because when we need deliverance from trouble, whether it be physical or financial or discouragement or some other trouble, we want deliverance now, and we pray urgently. But are we also willing to wait patiently for the Lord? David waited. Our Lord himself waited. God does hear our cries for deliverance, and he does care, and he does answer. Wait patiently for deliverance. Let's continue reading Psalm 41. Blessed is he who considers the poor or helpless. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 41. Psalm 41 completes the first book of Psalms. Remember, the entire book of Psalms consists of five subdivisions called the five books of Psalms. We see that the last verse of this psalm is a fitting doxology and conclusion to this first book of Psalms. Verse 13, once again, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In this psalm, we see that David was facing two troubles, sickness and enemies. For deliverance from both of these troubles, David was looking confidently to the Lord, as we see in verses 1 through 3. Notice in these verses that it's not just David, but any believer in application. Specifically, believers who reach out to help others in their troubles. As to David's sickness, which may be the same sickness that we saw back in Psalm 38, David acknowledged here in verse 4 that it was because of his sin, that is, disciplinary sickness. As to David's enemies, we see in verses 5 through 9 that these were close associates of David in the royal court. They were waiting for David to die and hoping that he would die as they slandered him behind his back. Even his close friend turned against him, Verse 9, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 41, which is the blessing and betrayal in Psalm 41 are typical in reference to Christ. The blessing and betrayal in Psalm 41 are typical in reference to Christ. Again, we know that part of Psalm 41 is messianic for sure, because the Lord quotes verse 9 in reference to his betrayal by Judas. John chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. In the context of Psalm 41, David's close friend who betrayed him was Ahithophel, one of David's counselors who went over to the side of Absalom when Absalom rebelled and usurped the throne. You can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 15. This was typical of what Judas would do when he betrayed the Lord. And as Ahithophel committed suicide, so did Judas. Now, what about the rest of Psalm 41? Is this also typical in reference to Christ, or is it only in reference to David? Certainly, David's blessing upon the merciful in verse 1 is typical of the Lord's blessing on the merciful in the Sermon on the Mount. And certainly, the Lord looked to his heavenly Father in times of trouble, in his physical sufferings on the cross, and during those times when his enemies would silence him. And the victory of David over his enemies and his integrity in verses 11 and 12 are certainly typical of our Lord. But the sins of David in verse 4 are only part of the type in so much as they picture our sins for which the Lord suffered in his sinless body on the cross. Now, what about verse 10 of Psalm 41, which says, but you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. Does this sound like the Lord who said to love your enemies and do good to them? Matthew 5:44. Yes, it does sound like the Lord when he comes back in judgment. The Lord said in a parable concerning his return, Luke chapter 19, verse 27, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Luke 19, 27. So even this is part of the type messianic Psalm 41. The blessing and betrayal in Psalm 41 are typical in reference to Christ. Now, what about practical application? Watch what you say about the sick. Watch what you say about the sick. In verse 8, we see that David's so-called friends jump to the wrong conclusion that some evil disease, literally a thing of Belial, had overtaken David and would lead to his death. They were wrong. This sickness was God's discipline, and God would raise David back up to health and strength. Watch what you say about the sick. You know, some folks make this same mistake today. A person gets sick, and they assume that the devil did it. This can be devastating to the sick person. Watch what you say about the sick.